Why can't your liberal cousin and conservative uncle have a civil conversation at Thanksgiving dinner? Why do religious and secular people seem to inhabit different moral universes? These questions lie at the heart of our increasingly divided society. Imagine discovering that your deepest moral convictions aren't primarily the product of careful reasoning, but rather instant gut reactions that your conscious mind scrambles to justify after the fact. This revelation, that we're not as rational as we think, opens the door to understanding why good people can disagree so passionately about politics and religion. Our minds don't operate like Plato's charioteer, rationally controlling wild horses of emotion. Instead, we function more like an elephant with a rider. The elephant, our automatic processes, intuitions, and emotions, does most of the work, while the rider, our conscious reasoning, primarily serves as a spokesperson justifying the elephant's movements to others. This explains why we're so skilled at finding evidence for positions we already hold. When confronted with harmless taboo violations, like someone privately cutting up a flag for cleaning rags, people insist these acts are wrong even when they can't explain why. When pushed, they search desperately for justifications, eventually reaching a state of moral dumbfounding, knowing something feels wrong without being able to articulate why. Even our physical sensations influence moral judgments. Disgusting smells make us judge transgressions more harshly. Bitter tastes increase moral condemnation compared to sweet ones. Hand washing can make us more moralistic about purity issues, while moral transgressions make us desire physical cleansing, the Macbeth effect. This insight transforms how we should approach moral disagreements. Speaking directly to someone's reasoning rarely changes minds. Instead, we must first connect with their elephant through warmth and empathy before reasoning has any chance of persuasion. Western moral philosophy often reduces morality to a single principle, like maximizing happiness or respecting rights. But our moral minds have multiple taste buds that respond to different patterns in the social world, just as our tongues detect different flavors. Through cross-cultural research, 6 innate moral foundations have been identified. 1. Care/harm. Sensitivity to suffering and cruelty evolved to protect vulnerable children. 2. Fairness/cheating. Feelings about justice and proportionality evolved for successful cooperation. 3. Loyalty/betrayal. Commitment to one's group evolved for forming cohesive coalitions. 4. Authority/subversion. Respect for legitimate leadership and tradition evolved for navigating hierarchies. 5. Sanctity/degradation. Protection from contamination, physical and spiritual, originally evolved to avoid pathogens. 6. Liberty/oppression. Resistance to domination evolved from our history in small groups that rejected tyrants. These foundations are innate but not fixed. They're like a first draft that gets revised through cultural learning. Different cultures and political groups emphasize different combinations, creating distinct moral cuisines. Liberals primarily emphasize care and fairness while often rejecting loyalty, authority, and sanctity. Conservatives value all 6 foundations more equally. This explains why conservatives often feel misunderstood. They're speaking a more complex moral language that liberals sometimes dismiss as irrational. Most psychology research comes from weird populations, Western, educated, industrialized, rich, and democratic, who are statistical outliers globally. Weird people see the world as composed of separate objects rather than relationships, think analytically rather than holistically, and have independent rather than interdependent concepts of self. This leads to individualistic moral systems focused primarily on harm and fairness. But most human societies throughout history have been sociocentric rather than individualistic, placing group needs above individual desires. In these societies, the social order is a moral order, and concepts like duty, respect, and purity are central moral concerns. When presented with scenarios like a man using a chicken for sexual gratification before cooking it, or a woman cutting up her country's flag for cleaning rags, responses vary dramatically across cultures and social classes. This doesn't mean morality is completely relative. Rather, cultures develop different moral matrices by emphasizing different combinations of the same underlying moral foundations. These matrices bind people together in moral communities, but also blind them to the legitimate moral concerns of other communities. Understanding this can transform our perspective. When we recognize that others aren't simply irrational or immoral, but are operating from different moral foundations, we can begin to appreciate the partial wisdom in perspectives we previously dismissed. Humans are 90% chimp and 10% bee, mostly selfish primates with a groupish overlay that enables us to form cooperative communities. This groupishness explains why we readily join teams and work enthusiastically with strangers toward common goals. Our capacity for cooperation evolved through multi-level selection, competition occurring at multiple nested levels. When groups compete, cohesive ones usually win, but within each group, selfish free riders often have advantages. This tension shaped our unique psychology, including moral emotions like shame and guilt that help us live within moral communities. We possess a hive switch that can temporarily turn us from selfish individuals into team players who transcend self-interest. This switch activates through various pathways. 1. Synchronized movement and collective rituals create a sense of unity and transcendence. 2. Awe in nature makes us feel small and connected to something larger. 3. Psychedelics reliably produce experiences of oneness and transcendence. 4. Collective experiences, like raves, combine music and movement to create powerful group connections. This hive switch explains why religion has been a universal feature of human societies. Religious practices aren't just collections of supernatural beliefs, they're social technologies that bind individuals into moral communities. Religious communes historically survived 4 times longer than secular ones, with longevity directly correlating to the number of costly sacrifices they demanded. Dietary restrictions, distinctive dress, regular rituals. Politics has become increasingly polarized, but understanding moral psychology offers hope. Genetics explains between 1/3 and 1/2 of our political orientation variability, creating brains with different threat reactions and novelty responses. The liberal moral matrix emphasizes care for victims of oppression and tells a heroic liberation story of transforming traditional, unequal societies through struggles for equality. The conservative narrative presents a heroism of defense, protecting traditional values and institutions from undermining forces. Neither side is wholly right. Both perspectives offer vital insights. Liberals excel at identifying victims and driving needed reforms. Conservatives preserve the institutions and traditions that sustain moral communities, moral capital. Liberal reforms sometimes backfire by reducing moral capital through rapid change, while conservatives better preserve social cohesion but may fail to notice certain victims or update outdated institutions. The path forward isn't finding perfect agreement, but developing more constructive disagreement. Speak to intuition before addressing reason. Establish emotional connection before presenting logical arguments. Share personal stories that demonstrate understanding of others' values. We can achieve more productive dialogue by recognizing our moral psychology differences as varied expressions of shared humanity.